Today on The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt.
Is the contour of my life and the motivation of why I do what I do, peacock or rooster? Am I trying to magnify myself or, like the rooster, am I trying to point the attention to something else, to somebody else, the S-O-N?
Are you tired of the self-centered culture around us? You're not alone. Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt unpacks a powerful passage from 1 Corinthians, explaining why boasting in the Lord is the ultimate game changer. We're learning how to embrace a mindset shift from peacock-like pride to rooster-like humility, directing our praise towards the one who truly deserves it. It's the conclusion of a message titled, A Message for Peacocks and Roosters. And if you missed any part of this study, you can replay it online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve.
Big difference between peacocks and roosters. Peacocks draw attention to themselves. Roosters draw attention to something else. Now, from this perspective, let's remind ourselves of what Paul has said thus far in 1 Corinthians. He begins his letter by reminding them of the great work of grace that God did when he began the church at Corinth through the preaching of Paul when he was there. And Paul celebrates God's work. He celebrates the spiritual gifts that were on display. He celebrates their fellowship with Jesus. And the reason that he's doing this is that these people needed to be reminded of what it was like when things were good, because over time, things had become bad. So Paul is basically saying, hey, do you remember how this thing began? God has saved you by the cross of Christ, which is folly to the world, but is the wisdom of God unto salvation. And with that now, we come to chapter 1, verse 26. We might expect that if the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the now famous Apostle Paul, was to go to Corinth and to start a church, of course he would go to the very important people first, right? Not the case. And this is what Paul now is reminding the church of. He's basically saying, listen, you were not when you were called a part of the VIP of Corinth. That's what he says in verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. The gospel of Jesus Christ has always had a far more receptive hearing amongst the disenfranchised of the world. It is hard for the rich to be saved. It is hard when you are the equivalent of a Rockefeller or a Kennedy or some other name in our culture that would be of distinction. It's hard when you are born in a family not to think that you're actually something special. And it is for this reason that the gospel has always had a better hearing amongst people that are the disenfranchised of the culture. For example, in the first century, in the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves. And slavery back then was a bad thing. You were an it. You were a possession. You had no personhood. You had no identity whatsoever. The gospel comes along and says that God loves you as a person, that you are an image bearer of his, that God loves you and Jesus died for you. And the slave in the Roman Empire, the first century, for the very first time in their life, found personhood and love and hope, and the gospel spread like wildfire through the slave population of the first century. And that kind of thing, it's just always been that way. And to this, God's word says in verse 27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So here we are now at the crux of what Paul is saying here. Why does God do it this way? for his glory. The overarching theme of all of Scripture and all of redemptive history is that God is doing what he is doing in order to magnify and to display the glory of himself. His glory is his worth, and his worth is infinite, and his glory is as well. And so God is displaying his glorious being for all of the world and all of the universe and everyone to see and to worship. I can say to every single person here today, you are not made for yourself, which is why your life stinks if you're trying to live that way. It just doesn't work. We were made for something greater, something better. We were made to worship our Creator and to have a relationship with him. And this is restored by faith in the gospel. This whole thing is to the praise of his glory. God is magnifying, displaying his glory. We are ascribing glory to him by the way that we live. Now for him. So central to all of this, all of the redemption of sinners, is the glory of God. So here's the question now. Listen, if you were God, and you wanted to save sinners who are essentially peacocks and want to take credit for everything, how do you go about saving prideful peacocks in a way that they can't take any credit for it and that you can receive the glory for it? Like, what do you do? How do you do that? Well, you could say, I think I'll have them earn it. I'm going to create a works-based sort of way that they can kind of make their way to me. And if they do it right and they get there, then they're good. But now that won't work, will it? Because if somebody gets there by what they do, what are they going to do? Wah, peacock, woo, right? Look at me, look what I can do, look what I have done. And then they'll be all boastful in the presence of God. That won't work. I think that I will, if I was God, I think I'll target the VIPs. Let's start at the top. Let's reach the rich people. Let's reach the smart people. Let's reach the pretty people. Let's start with them and then let the salvation sort of trickle down to everybody else. But wait, that won't work, will it? Because if you're saved because you're pretty, or you're saved because you're smart, or you're saved because you're rich, then what are you going to do with your salvation? You're going to say, well, look at me. God was wise enough to save somebody like me. I was pretty enough. I was smart enough. I was powerful enough. Look at me, peacock, right? So that won't work. So if you're God, what are you going to do to save sinners in a way that they got nothing to boast about? Well, this is what God has done. He has turned the human way of thinking about things completely upside down, so that the world values wisdom, and God chooses to save with something that seems foolish. The world values strength. God gives them weakness on a cross. The world values VIPs. God gives them what is low and despised, Paul writes here. Or as verse 28 says, the nothings. He saves the nobodies. That's the plan. Why? Verse 29, here's the center of it all. So that no human being might boast in his presence. Friends, the gospel seems foolish to the wise, and it seems weak to the strong, and it seems beneath the dignity of the VI people of the world, but it is this way by God's intent. So that the VIPs and the pretty people and the rich people and the strong people and the politically connected people have nothing that they can claim that they have done if they are saved. God saves not the rich, not the strong, not the powerful, but the humble. Humble people. So that nobody can say, hey, look at me. Look at me. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Oh, it's through faith. Great. Where do I get that faith from? It is a gift. It is a gift so that no one can boast. So here's what I'm saying, is that there are no peacocks in heaven. There are no peacocks in heaven. There is nobody that will stand before God and say, God, look at me. look what I have done to earn my way to be here. There is none of that. Friends, we have done nothing. 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 He has done everything. 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 He has done it all, so that salvation is all of grace. It is all of Him. And like everything else, it is all about Him. By intent, so that no one can boast. And friends, we ought to be pretty glad about this, I think. I mean, if God simply targeted the smart, the beautiful, the powerful, and the rich, I mean, look around. There ain't many of us that would make it, right? So I'm pretty glad that God chooses to save the humble, because there isn't anybody who can't humble themselves before the Lord and repent of their sins and put their faith in what God has done for them through Christ. Verse 30, He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And here Paul is just reinforcing what he is saying, that God is the source of your life. You are not the source of your life, God is. And oh, by the way, Christ is the one who is your wisdom. He is your righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Well, that pretty much covers it. God is the source. Christ is all these things. There's nothing left for us to be like, well, what about us? That's the point, okay? That is the point. Christ has done it all. Faith is a gift. And what do you brag about that you receive as a gift? Quick illustration. How many of your families like to play card games? Okay? Not too many. I grew up in a family that likes to play card games. I grew up in a family, we played, I can't even tell you how many thousands of games of Rook that my family grew up playing. Tons of it. So, but this illustration applies to whatever your card game is that you like, where if you've been playing in a card game with your family in particular, and it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, or some other reason to be together, you are there and you are playing this card game, killing time, waiting for the football game to start, and you are playing this game, and it can get a little bit tense, at least in my family, because we like to win in my family. All of us do. So we're playing the game and we're all very serious about it. And if you play any kind of card game, then it's at some point in the card game, somebody gets that magical hand. You know, that mathematically improbable hand where you get it and you like open it up and it's like all trump, or it's all face cards, or all whatever it is that you really want to have that allows you to dominate the game. Some family member will get that magical hand. And you can tell, can't you? Because you know these people. You can't like poker face your family because they know you. And so you looking at your sort of sicko hand and you look over and there's your brother, your sister, or your mom or dad, whoever it is, and you can just see the look on their face because there's like the little smirk that begins in the corner, right? And like their breathing changes as they're like, and you look at them and you're like, oh, you've got the hand, don't you? And what do they do? At some point they will take a deep breath, and they'll just kind of go, yep, 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 yep. Read them and weep, boys. Read them and weep. And don't you hate that when they do that? Because, first of all, you're upset that you didn't get it, but you think, this is what I think to myself. I look at, you know, my family member, and I think to myself, you didn't do anything to get this. This is not a sign of your brilliant play. You simply picked the cards up. That's all that you did, is you picked them up. It was dealt to you. It was given to you. Why are you glorying in it like it's something that you have done? You received it. Easy illustration to understand, isn't it? Why in the church would there be anybody who would begin to get a little high and mighty about themselves and to begin to act like they're sort of a VIP in the church, which is exactly what was happening in Corinth. They were getting full of themselves. They were dividing into cliques. We're going to find out later, some of them weren't waiting for others as they were having the Lord's Supper. They were just going ahead and just totally full of themselves. Peacocks is what was developing in Corinth. Why would you do that if everything that you have spiritually was given to you and you have done nothing? Where's the basis for getting all puffed up? There is none. There are no VIPs in the kingdom of God. Just one. The big I. B. Christ, who is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. So that leads to the question, well, what are we to do then? Okay, if I am not to be full of myself, what am I to do? And this is how he concludes this section. Verse 31. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Did you know there's a right kind of bragging? There is a good kind of bragging. That's hard for us to understand because we're so accustomed to the 99.9% of bragging that we hear or that we do is about ourselves and trying to convince other people of how wonderful we actually are and for them to know how, in our own opinion, how wonderful that we think that we are. We could do a whole message on bragging because probably all of us have had an experience where you had a conversation and you walked away. I have. I walk away from some conversations and I want to punch myself in the mouth because I think to myself, why did I feel the need to share with this person how wonderful I think I am? Anybody relate to that? Okay. I'm glad because last night's service couldn't at all. And I felt like I was the only sinner in the church last night. This passage isn't encouraging that kind of boasting, but is saying that there is a right way to boast. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? He is quoting from Jeremiah 9 here, Old Testament, a passage, one of these just really cool Old Testament passages, Jeremiah 9. Let me just read this to you. This would be a great one to memorize. Here's what it says. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What do men boast in? What are you going to hear in your school or job tomorrow? People that are going to boast about how smart they are, how successful they are, how rich they are, how happy they are, whatever it is, they're going to boast about these things. Look at me. Look at how wonderful I am. God says, all that boasting comes to nothing. If you want to boast, boast in this. You know me. You understand me, that I am a God of righteousness and justice in the earth. You boast in a relationship with the Lord, and God says, I love it when my people glory in knowing me. That's the right way to boast about him. Which brings us now back to where we began. Peacocks and roosters. Peacocks and roosters. A peacock draws attention to himself. Look what I can do. Look at how beautiful I am. What is a rooster famous for? Crowing in the morning. Right? If we knew chickenese, this is what we would hear. This is what we would hear as we hear the crowing. We would hear this. Listen. Look at the sun. The sun is rising. I want you all to get up and to see it. I want everyone to see the sun. And here is the question today. Is the contour of my life and the motivation of why I do what I do, peacock or rooster? Am I trying to magnify myself? Am I trying to uplift myself in man's eyes or even God's eyes? Or, like the rooster, am I trying to point the attention to something else, to somebody else, the S-O-N, and make much of him? Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I got thinking about this. What would be some qualities of somebody that is living this way? And I just made a partial list. You could add more to this, but it seems to me that if I'm boasting in the Lord, I have profound gratitude to God for what he has done to save me. I am more God than me in my conversations. That I'm okay with not getting the credit for things. That there is lots of thanksgiving to God in prayer. That there is lots of thanksgiving to God in my conversations with people. That I am quick to forgive other people for Jesus' sake. That I have a kingdom first mentality. That I have a servant's heart. I'm generous to God. I have great joy in praising him. Which I could just plant on that one for a moment. Either privately or corporately, when we get together, it's just a bunch of cock crowing is what we're doing when we get here, right? Look at how wonderful he is. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Loving others enough to share the gospel with them. I've never seen a rooster that only crowed for Christians. And then John the Baptist's words, he must increase, I must decrease. Here's the core of it, though. Here's the core. You can know if you have this passage in your heart, if this is true. I can't believe that God would save somebody like me. I can't believe that God would save somebody like me.
An overwhelming sense of awe and gratitude fills our hearts when we realize the depth of God's grace towards us. You're listening to The Journey with Steve DeWitt and the conclusion of a message titled, A Message for Peacocks and Roosters. If you missed any part of this challenging study, you can find it online at thejourney.fm. Well, here at The Journey, our mission is to guide you in your faith journey to the eternal truth of God's Word. That's why each day on the radio and web, we take our listeners into the depths of Scripture while making God's truth easy to understand and applicable to daily life. But as a listener-supported program, we couldn't do it without you. The Journey relies in part on the financial gifts of generous friends like you, which allow us to share the truth of the gospel with listeners all around the country. So would you join hands with us in our mission today? You can call 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763, or give online at thejourney.fm. And to say thanks, we'll send you a book titled The God Conversation, using stories and illustrations to explain your faith. Our beliefs are challenged from many directions. Every day, it seems more difficult to explain to our friends, families, and neighbors what we believe and why. When our ideas and arguments fail to persuade them, then what? In The God Conversation, veteran apologists and communicators J.P. Moreland and Tim Muehlhoff say that often the best way to win over others is with a good story. If you have a love for stories and a heart for sharing the gospel, this is a resource that you'll want to have. And it's yours with a gift of your support to The Journey. Again, call 844-7-JOURNEY or visit thejourney.fm. I'm Tim Svoboda, inviting you to join us tomorrow for another message from 1 Corinthians. We're learning all about why, when it comes to teaching and preaching, there is power in the cross alone. That's Friday on The Journey with Steve DeWitt. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.